Yeah, don't say that. Stop.
Statement of adequate notice. The requirements of the open public meetings law, 1975, chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Roll call. Oh, it doesn't say it, but it's not on the... Please stand and join me in the salute to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Sorry about that. Roll call, please.
Leva?
Here.
Torres?
Yes, here.
Thompson?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Conner?
Yes.
Motion to receive and file the correspondence?
I'll make a motion to receive and file the correspondence for tonight.
Second. I'm on correspondence. I'm following the agenda.
Where's your minutes? It's down here.
Oh.
Who's got it? Oh, somebody changed it.
Just keep me on your...
Are there any discussions for the correspondence?
Yes.
Receive and file first, and then...
Okay. All in favor of receiving and filing?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, now we'll open it up for discussion.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to just point out a couple of things. I don't know if everyone's aware, but that's right next to the building that I'm located in, number 16, so I'm not going to be voting on this issue. However, as a small business owner, I feel that I must, you know, talk and just explain that even though I'm certainly for, you know, Transition for Women, everything that they do, and, you know, of course, handicapped, they're requesting a handicap parking space on one of our very few street spaces. Now, I don't know if everyone's aware, but that's the only space right now, at this point at least, on Broad Street between Allegher and Washington Avenue. So it behooves me to you know, say that it really would take away a vital space, and businesses would be so affected. We're already at a shortage of spaces. In my building alone, right next door to me, the business left. They were a sound studio, but next door to them, you may not be aware, but a yoga meditation lady opened up. She's open now. And of course, there's a barber shop within that same building as well. The barber shop is quite busy. Actually, during the week, during the day, he has at least, I would say, 15 to 20 customers that are going to be taking up parking spaces. The only place, now Northwest Cap is in the back of that building as well. And they have 4 employees that are full-time, plus they have other employees. And they seem to have at least a few people come as well. So the only place for the people to park now is the free parking lot across the street, as well as next to that location is the Visiting Homemakers, which is the picture in the courses in the back here. Okay, there's this little lot that used to be part of Washington. Well, it's actually Washington Flooring is renting part of Villa Furniture. That was all Villa Furniture. It wrapped around from Washington Avenue. It's an L-shaped building. And that accompanying lot was where many of the people overflow would park. But that's now taken over because of the rental of the bay back there to Washington Flooring. So there's really only 3 available spaces in that lot. And across the street, they use that free parking lot. There's 2 handicapped spaces there already. They use that space for not only the tenants that live in on the other side of the street, but there's a salon there, Sensations, that uses it, as well as a business on the corner. And the number 1517, even though he doesn't have a sign up, he's an insurance agent, He uses it. There's a brand-new building that on, a brand-new business on the building number 7 Broad Street, which is a bakery, Ally's Bakery. She's going to be opening that probably within the next 2 weeks. So it's just a pressing need for parking in that area now. It just all of a sudden mushroomed into a big concern. And that's separate from the discussion we've had at previous council meetings about the Ray Rice proposition and the parking spaces in that free lot that's behind PNC Bank now. So I did speak to other business owners, Russo's. I spoke with him. He's against the handicap space there. Robert Ray is also an accountant. He's in the back of that particular same building that I'm in, all the way at the back in the corner next to Northwest Gap. He's at number 12 Broad Street. He has people as well. So there's quite a number of businesses that are really, you know, concerned about this. I received a letter that I have to read. This is from the person who opened up the yoga place. It's called Mindful Experiences, a brand new business. Good evening. Councilman Torres has brought to my attention that a meeting is being held this evening to discuss the need for a handicap parking space in the proximity of the businesses at 16 and 18 Broad Street. Unfortunately, I am personally unable to attend the meeting. However, I would hope this letter would serve as my voice. The need for a designated parking spot for handicapped individuals is necessary. However, the location of the parking spot is of concern. Losing one of the very few on-street parking spaces could have an impact on the businesses on Broad Street, as available parking is limited. Perhaps a designated handicap spot could be placed in the privately owned parking lot in front of 16 and 18. She means the visiting homemakers. A shared parking spot for handicapped individuals would benefit the businesses of the area while maintaining the current street parking spaces. Additionally, having a handicapped parking space in a parking lot would provide safer access for the individual. I thank you for your consideration. Her name is Linda Schuler, M.A. So that's that letter. And I received another letter. This is to whom it may concern. This is from Quality Furniture, which is, of course, on the corner of Broad and West Washington. As one of the business owners that is still in town trying to survive, I would like to voice my opinion on the subject of changing of the usage of one of the parking spots on Broad Street to a handicapped parking spot. First, that parking spot is the closest to Route 57, Washington Avenue, where there is most of the leftover businesses. With parking spaces, places in this town, taking away another one wouldn't be the best opinion. As much as I feel for the handicapped people and everything they have to experience in their life, it came to my attention that the main purpose of adapting this parking spot to a handicap is to serve a Northwest Cap staff members. The parking spots along the streets are designed to serve potential shoppers, not to be taken away for longer than 2 hours period of time. There is a parking lot right across the street with designated handicap spots that could be used for staff members. Also, perhaps neighboring businesses to Northwest Cap would allow parking on their parking lot for staff members that are having difficulty walking. More important would be to concentrate on enforcing the 2-hour parking rule. And that was from Irene at the Quality Furniture in North Carolina. That's all I have.
Okay. Well, it wasn't public, but go ahead. You can come up, Shannon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would just say, really, on behalf of businesses, that I would agree with Rob's statements entirely. And actually, I was a former client of Norwest Gap Transition Center, and there are times in my life that I have been eligible for handicap stickers myself. So I'm certainly sympathetic and empathetic to the plight, but I think that there is very limited parking in the area. We have a brand new business opening, Ally's Cupcakery. There are 2 handicap spots reserved across the street at Broad Street. They knew where they were moving. They knew what the parking situation is. There's staff. There is public parking behind Gibson's Gym. And I think that that's where those staff should park. If they'd like to make an arrangement with visiting homemakers, then that's on them. And I think their previous location had to go all the way across the street to the United Methodist Church parking lot. So I would be in support of what Rob said. I don't think that it's a good idea to make that a handicap spot. Thank you very much.
Does anyone else have a comment? I had a question just like regarding the photograph. When they say Midtown Plaza, I thought Midtown Plaza was the Van Cleef building. Where are they?
I just straightened that out.
What's that?
The problem with that is, the person who bought the property, it was a foreclosure where my building is now, where my business is. Well, that was originally called Midtown Plaza.
Oh.
Years ago.
And years ago. And so the sign was up when he purchased the property, the landlord. And of course, Midtown Plaza, we have two now, because there is the Midtown Plaza, one on.
So now, in this picture, where is Norwest Cap going to be?
Norwest Cap, you can't even see it. It's to the left of the tree. It's actually.
Near the barber?
Yes.
Okay.
Right past the barber.
So now, these are handicapped spots in this parking lot? What are those signs there?
They're personal.
They're private.
They're private.
Visiting homemakers.
This whole entire lot is visiting homemakers?
Yeah.
Did they buy this lot? How did that happen?
Privately owned.
It's privately owned, though?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So none of those spots in there people can park in? It's all visiting?
Visiting homemakers.
And I believe they're somewhat subsidized visiting homemakers by the county, because they're listed in our you know, county guide.
So right over here are a couple of handicap parking spaces?
Yes.
In the lot, there's down.
Isn't there any on Long Island Street?
On Ward Street, like in front of Ruth, around there?
I thought there was. There's two on Morrison Avenue in front of the pharmacy.
In front of the pharmacy, two.
On Ward Street? I thought one of the letters you read said that there was handicap parking.
No, that's across the street. They mean it in the lot, across the street.
So there aren't any on Ward Street?
Which is the one that connects to Lincoln Avenue, goes, runs all the way behind, you know, Washington Avenue and goes, you know, parallel to it. So in that lot, there's the first two spaces closest to Broad Street are handicapped. That's across the street from this picture.
Okay. So I'm going to close the discussion if anyone wanted to. And then we'll move on to the minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes. That's the minute. Of June 18th and July 2nd.
Okay. All in favor, or any changes, or discussions?
All in favor, aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye.
Make a motion, we receive, oh.
We said we did that, so we're done with the minutes.
Yep.
I'm going to open up the audience for remarks, petitions, and statements and testimony from guests in the audience. Hearing none.
Close the audience portion.
Second.
Okay. And we have no ordinances this evening?
Aye.
Oh.
Aye.
Aye, aye, Captain.
That was to close the audience?
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody.
Everyone said yes.
Okay.
Close the audience. Okay, we're up to reports.
Make a motion to receive and file the reports as presented.
Second.
I'll open it up now for a discussion on any of the reports.
I got one question. How could we always go up and stuff, and nobody else does, like the police report?
Go up and stuff, what do you mean by?
Like crime and vehicle crashes.
Why is there more crime in the borough than there is in anywhere else?
Some are more bad guys here.
I can't answer that question.
Yes. Do we get any money from the summonses and stuff?
Yep.
They go to court, yeah.
I mean, everything keeps going up there, just the borough. The other ones go down.
It's not such a bad thing. At least we have presence here.
Some of the counts are actually lower, I thought, in this report than normal. You know, we do tend to have.
But yet the miles, patrolled miles are higher. Yeah. So that's interesting.
I had one question on the manager's weekly report regarding Councilman Jewell's resignation.
Mm-hmm.
When I filled in for Christina Wykowski, it was actually around this exact same time frame, the Republican committee brought forth a few names, and then council interviewed all those names, and then that person was on council. They still had to do the election in November, and then in January, whoever won that election filled the vacant seats that time. So is that happening now?
No.
Why not? So that doesn't seem right.
Or I can.
Okay, you can.
It depends on when they resign. If there's two different statutes, which I think I explained in my manager's report. If they resign, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
But Christina resigned. My first day, because I got voted in that night when I was interviewed, was August 9th.
Yeah, but she still had another year, a year, and she had 2 years on her term.
It doesn't matter.
It was a year and a half, because then the following year I had to do it again.
Yeah, no, Dave knows.
Right now, this is my 4-year anniversary.
Here's how it goes. Listen. In the state statute, if you resign within so many days of an election,
yes.
Christina resigned outside of that window.
July.
Justin's resignation takes effect inside the window. So the name then is placed on the ballot by the committee. Now, in your case, because it was outside of that window, a 60-day, 45-day, I don't know the exact number of days. But what happens is the committee gets together, they put forward names to the council votes on it, that person gets appointed. Then you have to fill, in your case, you had to fill out a petition and run for re-election in November.
Right.
Because it's within inside of that time frame, the certain amount of days, his resignation date is August 20th. The statute reads that the
committee... Oh, his date was August 20th.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, the statute says that the committee gets together and puts forward a name for the ballot in November.
Right. But so, in other words, that seat's going to be vacant until January?
No, until November, because whoever wins the election will take the...
Well, typically when you win the November election, you don't get...
A vacancy. It's considered a vacancy.
Right.
So that person, that's how Scott and I met. We ran in a November election because it was a vacancy that he was appointed to. I won the election. The very first council meeting after the election, I was appointed.
You get appointed. Council does have the right to appoint someone in Justin's seat temporarily.
Right.
However, we...
It's the... Yeah.
He kind of decided that it wasn't worth it. I don't know if I said that in my report.
No, I didn't know who decided any of this. Okay.
Did I give that overview in my report?
No.
It's only for 4 meetings.
Okay.
Are you going to appoint someone temporarily? By the time your committees gather 3
Here's
names...
Here's the bottom line.
Yeah,
the committee can meet together and put forward 3 names. The council votes on it. But then the committee supplies the name to Christine. So somebody could sit here for 4 meetings and not be on the ballot.
Exactly.
Right,
okay.
So...
Okay. All right, yeah, I didn't realize there was all these different things. I just knew from my experience that I started all in August, I had a run in the election in November,
right,
and do it again a year and a half later.
It was the difference inside the window, outside.
Yeah, no, I was just concerned the seat was going to be empty until January. Right.
No, November, the first meeting in November.
Okay, all right. If there's nothing else, then we'll move on to...
No, wait a minute, I have a question on these reports. The bid specs, we're going to get a copy of those, or can we get a copy of the...
I certainly can give you a copy of the bid specs.
Yeah, just so
are we talking about the garbage?
Yeah.
That's going to be on the...
They're huge.
Yeah.
And they're all legal...
Then I just need to review it then sometime this week.
Okay.
I just want to see.
When are they going out?
As soon as I get the okay from council.
The other question I have is on the... it seems that the recreation supplied us with a report for monthly expenses, but it only goes up to June, so...
No, the next page was
July. Right. There's nothing there in July.
Yeah, but it's not... There's nothing on it. It's blank.
That was as of June.
Okay.
So, okay, so what? So my question then is...
We just closed July.
Okay. We're going to get one...
monthly.
So we're going to get July's sometime in August, so hopefully
correct.
For the next meeting. This is
yeah.
my question. Okay, good. All right, that was it.
Okay, we'll move on to committee reports. The first one is the senior committee report, which was myself, and I just wanted to give the update that we, Ethel and I, the senior committee, is working with the County Division of Aging and Disability Services, and basically they're funding the whole thing, fortunately, since we don't have any money. But we are having a first annual event for all the seniors in our community, ages 60-plus. On Friday night, August 23rd, from 5 to 8, and we're using the Borough Park Pavilion. We rented it. And
it's called Picnic in the Park, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's a great idea.
We're going to have some activities and prizes, and if anyone wants to volunteer or come out, the freeholders have been invited, and hopefully we get the word out. It was mentioned in the Washington Messenger, or doing the Comcast channel, WRNJ, and...
Here's my tax bill.
Yes, I was able to get it inserted into there, so we're really trying to spread the word, and hopefully it's a success. And anyway, that was the main thing. I wanted to throw that date out there because I wasn't at the last meeting to tell everyone. Next up was the Jake Brink ordinance.
Okay, so that's under the Code Book Committee. So basically, the ordinance I'm going to have the nuisance. Jake Brink is going to be included in the nuisance ordinance. The nuisance ordinance is going to basically be consolidation of a few different things that are right now not in our code book at all, like Jake Brink, plus all the nuisances that were in there. So,
like littering, it's going to convert all the nuisances.
vandalism, graffiti, these things, are going to be included in there as well. So that should be ready for next meeting. So look forward to that for next meeting.
Now, that's just going to be reviewed like we've been presenting all of going through the whole code book. It's going to be presented that way?
Yes.
Or are you having the clerk present a full ordinance to adopt?
No, it's not. No.
We're continuing
the same process that we've been doing. This is, similar to the fire official, ordinance, the fire prevention. So you'll see the ordinance. Maybe there wouldn't be, a presentation like the slideshow, but it'll still be, presented at least for discussion.
Say what they're in favor of.
And then, it'll all be voted on at the end when we do the final code book.
I just had a question regarding the whole conflict. What is our drop-dead due date now so that we get this all done this year? When does General Code Book need the whole editorial analysis back and all the everything so that...
There is no due date from them. When we're ready, they'll recodify.
But with regards to our budget, then we budget to have it done this year?
We did.
Yeah.
So we
do
it by the first meeting in December.
Okay.
Yeah. It should be even before that.
It should be the third meeting, the second meeting in November. We need to be ready to present the codification.
Just for clarification, in the code book, there's only the back section that's left, really. It includes streets and roads, vehicles and traffic, the nuisance.
Zoning.
It includes zoning as well as stormwater, sewer, and towing. Let's see if I forgot anything. Zoning is the other big one. So between nuisance and zoning, hopefully we'll get those done back-to-back. So I'm looking at a target. I'd like to get everything done by the end of October. So
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is there anything in there that specifically deals with farm animals?
Yes, we've added that.
Yeah.
That was actually in, we already presented that to council.
Okay. Yeah,
that part we did. So.
Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll see it next week.
No, but we already presented that to council.
Yeah, but in other words, it'll be again in the nuisance ordinance. He'll see. Yeah,
right. Are we going to have a list?
Because
of
some of that with the noise is now being changed from just dog barking to any animal noises. Because that's a nuisance.
Okay. So basically, farm animals are now being addressed under animals. There's going to be like an animal chapter, not just cats and dogs.
Okay.
Right.
I have something on the sewer, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was a sewer meeting scheduled for Thursday that has been canceled. And I guess we're going to reschedule it? Okay.
I just need to know the date.
Any date is good for me.
Okay.
But I do have some other information that I would like to read to you. As you remember, Mrs. Klemko was at our last meeting, and I said that I would reach out to the following individuals. Well, I made some calls. I didn't get any answers. I mean, I didn't get any callbacks. So I used the senator's office, and I got some answers. I would like to read to you the answer that I got.
I wasn't at the last meeting, so
okay,
I don't know.
Okay, well, Robin came and talked about the erosion in the bank at their property. So I said I would reach out to the Army Corps of Engineers, the DEP, and the Highlands to see who was responsible for the repair of the erosion, if I could.
This is the woman that rents that property?
Okay. Yes, this is the response. The DEP does not have any property along this creek or any responsibility for the shadow concrete. The nearest DEP-owned property is the Old Warren Railroad bed in both Washington Borough and Washington Township, which is a couple of miles away, running northeast from the high school and assigned whatever to KVSP. We have a few other properties a little further away, but none of these state properties drain into the Shadow Creek. Some possibilities. The creek flows west going under Route 31 from the diner, which may be significant in as it took the DOT over a year to construct a new bridge there because of the water flow and erosion. Just south of the Washington Diner, so a remote possibility could be insufficient bank stabilization from the project, which just finished a couple of months ago. Up the creek from the bridge is a new senior housing. We're still talking about Ray Ross, Ross's property here. The
Ray Rice.
Which was cleared years ago, but townhouses have only recently been built. Now the economy is picking up. This might be a cause for additional flow. There was a cemetery in the borough that wanted, but residents wanted whatever, that has nothing to do with it. After your call, a staff member of the State Park Service walked the entire length of the area and said that most of the properties flanking the creek at that point are private residential lots. So most of the creek is on private property. He said there is, and now listen to this right here. He said there is multiple old sanitary sewer pipes and manhole assemblies there and have probably been exposed due to erosion. Everybody understand what
he's talking about?
We're talking about I&I getting into the sewer, rainwater and things like that. He's talking about sewer pipes being exposed due to erosion. Okay. The piping runs from the creek to a vacant lot where they recently cut lawn that has remnant of a house foundation. It is unlikely that the private property owner maintains this vacant lot. So maybe it's owned by the town. We don't know. There is water. There is a water authority in the borough, but we think the DPW must be responsible for the sewer rights. Actually, it is the sewer, the plant that is. In summary, it's difficult to pinpoint which agency or party is responsible, but it doesn't appear to be the DEP. The Army Corps of Engineers do not have any projects or jurisdiction in this area. Similarly, the Highlands Council could not have any jurisdiction or responsibility. All in all, it would appear that this would be under the auspices of the borough.
Or the owner.
Auspices of the borough. Please note that if any, you were to undertake a project to address the borough, would need to obtain the appropriate permits from the DEP. They should contact the DEP Land Use Regulation Board to discuss the permit requirements. So,
can I have a copy of that letter?
Why, certainly.
Because you didn't say it was from either, so.
It is from, let me see here, John Hazen, New Jersey State Department of Environmental Protection. And a follow-up email went like this. Thanks for your detailed answer. Can I call you if I have any questions? The answer I that the senator's office got me. Sure, but I'm going to the message.
So will you bring this to the attention of our
sewer? Yeah, I was kind of, I actually got this last week. We went out of town for the weekend. So
of concern, obviously, is the exposed sewer pipes, really.
The erosion of the bank.
Yes.
They actually sent somebody there. The bank is eroding to the point that it's exposing sewer lines.
But did our wastewater...
So that's the problem that we have. We're getting fresh water when it rains into the sewer plant. Now, I went down there one time, and there was a pipe that stuck out of the creek about that far. And it was about 4 inches round. It was about that big. So any amount of rain raised the creek, it would flow into that pipe. I said, where did that pipe go? That pipe went to the sewer plant.
Hmm. Did our wastewater engineer take a look at that yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
I was going to give it to him at the meeting that we're not having this week.
Right.
So I will give Christine a copy to forward to him. And whoever wants a copy, I'll have a copy. As a matter of fact,
Just please put that back in my mailbox when you check with me. There is not a definite answer there, but he's telling us that the DEP, the Army Corps of Engineers, and the Highlands have no responsibility there.
But knock them off the list.
But if we do something, then they want to step in.
They want, yeah, they want permits.
They're handed that, right.
That is a classified stream, so they would have to. And the DEP building requirements are, it used to be 100 feet from a waterway, now it's 350 feet. So, actually did some checking. That could be fixed. The DPW could actually fix that, but they would have to rent some equipment and they would have to get the appropriate material to stop the erosion.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be fixed. I don't know for how much.
And are they just fixing it in this one particular property, or then you'd have to do the same thing along the whole?
Well, wherever there was erosion, yeah. And here's what they said that belongs to. We have...
How many miles?
It's about a mile.
You're talking Broad Street down behind Guys.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're
if
talking...
If it's made out of concrete, which I believe most of those would be, that would run into major money to do.
Here's the question now. I was going to ask him if there was... I'm going to contact him again. Maybe you could do this, Christine, to see if there is DEP money to do that.
This guy here?
Yeah. So... I would let the engineer look at that and find out. I don't know who would do that, the sewer engineer or the town engineer.
Well, we had a sewer engineer originally look at this. So...
And he's the one that said...
Exactly. So I think this falls into the sewer engineer category.
Okay.
Yeah.
He has the history in the background.
Well, not only that, it says right in there that this guy walked, there's somebody from the State Park Service.
Right.
And said that there were exposed sewer lines.
Right, so I think it's all to him.
Yeah, I would say...
It's an entirely different response.
Give him a chance to review this, you know, new information from this, you know.
Right. It's an entirely different response to what?
Than what our wastewater engineer sent us.
And there could be that problem down there? That could be... Listen, exposed sewer pipes is bad for INI. It's terrible. We might be able to cut 20% of the INI out just from, you know, fixing that.
But we don't know, really. So
we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Okay.
And that's a question that I would have for the sewer engineer.
Any other committee reports? All right, new business. First up are the garbage bid specs.
Okay, quickly, Blue Diamond's contract with the borough runs out December 31st. So we're preparing to go out to bid sometime within the next week or two. Nothing has changed from the previous bid package that was sent out. I am looking for a four-year contract to start 2014 and 2017.
Is that how long the last one was?
Yes.
Okay.
Same pickup would be solid waste, recycling, and seasonal yard trimmings. The only change in the seasonal yard trimmings would be to begin in April and end at the end of November instead of starting in May and ending sometime mid-November. We seem to have more need for it these past few years. So that would be the only change to the bid specs. Other than that, everything's the same. So if I have council's blessing, I'd like to advertise. We have to advertise.
I have a question. Would it be possible, like, when you to get like another quote, just to see, like, for like one annual? I'm speaking as a resident right now. I miss the bulk garbage pickup. Like, even if it's just once a year,
we can add.
You know, like everyone just ends up hoarding their stuff. Like, even to get
rid
of a carpet.
Yeah, something like that.
Like, we don't have. I only have a Volvo. I don't have a truck to take stuff anywhere. You know?
That's a good point.
And even buying a garbage bag here isn't going to take a an area rug or, you know, a chair. Or
you could present the contract and have that as an addendum, as an optional thing, so you can get
it. Just to see how much it would cost, if it's like biannual or annual.
So if council is all in agreement, we can add an option two for one bulky waste pickup.
Couldn't it be part of the money that we get from the recycle to pay for the bulk pickup?
It depends depends.
Guaranteed money.
Yeah, it just depends on how much we get from that.
It's just to get the cost estimate. It's not, you know, council.
Actually, if you put it out to bid, they would have to provide two separate bids.
One bid for garbage and one with garbage.
Right, and the way the bidding laws are, the contracting laws, correct me if I'm wrong, Christine, you have to take the lowest bidder.
Me too.
Right.
So if you put that in the bid specs as option, you know,
it would be option number two, yeah.
Yeah.
In other words, you might just get the garbage bid and that's it.
And believe it or not, that bulky waste was four times a year and it was expensive.
That's why we did away with it.
No, I understand that. I voted to get rid of it. I'm just, our finances are slowly changing and so I'm like, how much?
Sorry.
And I'm not saying doing it four times a year.
I think one time would be, especially if there's a storm in the winter time. They have to do like in the springtime.
Well, you could put in how many times. So if yeah, I think four times was excessive anyway.
Yeah.
One time might be a good idea to put in. I mean, we could agree on two, one, three. I mean, you know, you disagree completely. No bulky.
Now, if I'm sitting up here, can I make a motion? I can't make a motion, right?
No, you can.
You sure
can. Okay, well, I'm going to make a motion that we add an option for a once-a-year bulk garbage.
I'll second it.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
I would vote for that.
Aye.
Opposed?
We have four ayes. One, two, three, four. And one opposed.
And you are no, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll make the motion that we, do you need another motion for the rest of your stuff?
No, okay. Fine. I just want to fill you in. Actually, Jane, I have two other items. Could I do them quickly?
Yes.
Two? Okay. I met with our municipal engineer yesterday. The Department of Transportation grants for street reconstruction is open again. Deadline is September 20th. We have two options here that we kind of tossed around. We can reapply for Green Street since the application is pretty much done from last year. There's not much work involved in recreating it for this year. Or we could send this to the Streets Committee quickly and come up with other streets that you may want to submit. However, keep in mind, the cost would be higher in preparing that grant application.
All right. Let's talk about North Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
If we did South Lincoln, I would prefer to do North Lincoln than Green Street. Green Street is not as emergent as North Lincoln. And that way, it would wear at the same time. It would take care of the issues that were brought before us.
Yes.
And it's no longer. You know what I mean? It's about the same distance.
But can we finish that little spot up there on North Lincoln?
Mm-hmm.
From Carlton to the JCP
and
L property? That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
So what are actually our options, Christine?
You can go with Green Street.
Mm-hmm.
You can go with North Lincoln. Or you can submit two applications, naming your priority. Priority one being North Lincoln, priority two being Green Street.
Green
Street's the easiest application. It's already done. It's a tweak here and a tweak there to send it off.
How much would it cost to do a new one, say, for North Lincoln?
I would say between around $750 is what it charged. We were charged last year.
That's not so bad.
$750 bucks?
Correct.
Right, now.
Well, it was a different engineer that did the last one, too, so maybe
it could be a little bit less.
I think Finelli's rates were lower.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
No, maybe the way they worded or might be in our favor.
Exactly.
Okay, so are we talking about complete reconstruction of both these streets, or are we talking about just over there?
No, with Green Street, we did curbing,
right.
Drainage, the whole thing.
So if we did North Lincoln, we would have to include the
curbing, drainage.
So the engineer then would have to submit plans for that.
No sidewalks, though. Sidewalks or no?
Because some of those North Lincoln don't have sidewalks. I don't know. Does Green Street even have a sidewalk?
Well, I was thinking of North Lincoln. I'm not sure if Green Street has it, so I guess it would then, yeah. I'd be in favor of the North Lincoln.
North Lincoln has it where the buses come out, I believe.
Yeah.
To the library.
On the left side?
To the library.
On the right side, I think it goes up to, what's the next street?
I will tell you that because it is a bus route.
Yeah,
it looks favorably on the DOT in there.
Yes, because that's one of the reasons why it's rejected, I think, because it has to do with the children and safety and schools.
Right.
So it looks good to do North Lincoln?
Yes.
Higher point.
Yeah, good. Yeah, and North Lincoln is, I'm in favor of North Lincoln.
And that way, the bus will wear all the way up.
Definitely a thing.
On both sides.
So North Lincoln from what point to?
From Carlton Avenue to the...
To the end of the borough.
To the end of the borough.
To the end of that.
To the borough line, really. You can go to the borough line.
It's JCPL property.
Because there's that easement of the electric company, so actually past that.
Up to JCPL property.
We can go on the other side of it as well, because...
Okay.
We have two more blocks that are actually borough property, I believe, past that, that almost goes to Jackson Valley, so...
It's just past the church. So whatever's paved right now, how's that?
Okay, I got it.
Now, do we need to do a, listen, a not to exceed on design from the engineer?
A not to exceed for the grant application?
And, well, he's going to have a design, isn't he?
Eventually, but he's only the first, just doing the...
When he does the grant application, he has to put in there what's going to be done for that.
And the cost estimate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would do a not to exceed $1,000.
Okay.
That would be my recommendation.
Okay.
And that's just for the grant application, but then he later on does a regular plan and whatever, you know.
Well, he will, right. If we're awarded the grant money, then obviously it becomes much more involved.
Doesn't he have to submit the plans for the grant, though?
He does.
Just the...
We adopt the resolution.
Rough.
Saying apply for the grant.
It's okay to apply for the grant. I think you guys got a copy of the Green Street grant last year. Gives you all the specs, and that's what gets submitted to the DOT.
Okay, so he has time to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Then that...
Okay, so I'll accept the motion then.
So moved.
Second.
We're just doing Lincoln Street.
North Lincoln.
North Lincoln, right. So JCPL where the pavement starts, with a not to exceed for the grant application.
We have one more item. Let's just check my notes here. Okay, so this goes back to the Mill Pond Dam topic. As you recall, in 2010, you authorized Suburban Engineering to do phase one and two of surveying of the Mill Pond Dam, and they also did a hydrologic and hydraulic study of the Mill Pond Dam. This was in conjunction with a possible decommissioning of the dam, or possibly keeping the dam and maintaining it. Well, in 2012, I think early on, we had some numbers from the engineer to decommission the dam, which were astronomical. So we decided not to go that route as council. We received a love letter from the Department of Environmental Protection. We have, we must provide them what's called an emergency action plan for the Mill Pond Dam. Otherwise...
What's the date of that letter?
What's that?
What's the date of that letter?
The end of May.
Oh, that's, okay, that came before I talked about it.
Yes. So otherwise, you have a potential for a penalty of $2,500 a day.
So we just have to direct our engineer to maintain, because we agreed to maintain only the dam, right?
Right, we agreed to maintain it, but as part of maintaining that dam, we have to provide the DEP with an emergency action plan.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, as I found out recently, one of the steps in doing that is doing what's called an inundation mapping study, and from what I understand from the engineer, that is, if there is ever a disaster on Mill Pond Road, down there where the dam is, how will that affect the surrounding properties? What impact is a failure of that dam going to have?
No flood.
What else do they need to know?
Well, yes, well, they will flood, but we have to provide them what's called an inundation mapping study. I have a quote from a company that Benelli works with for $12,000 to do this.
This study.
Well, so, let me ask you a question.
I can get another quote, but I have, so here's our choices. We can find the money to do this. Natasha and I have discussed it. I want to ask for $15,000 just in case.
I have a cushion.
Right, because we're going to have some engineering costs associated. Because we didn't see this coming.
But you hit the line side.
And how much is it to do the emergency action plan?
This is part of it.
And that's just part of it, that's what I'm saying. What's
15,000, not 12,000.
Well, so far they've probably spent $2,000 out of general engineering to do the emergency action plan.
Oh, so they've been working on the emergency action plan?
They've been working on it, but when they got to the end of the checklist, they said,
oh, we need to get this mapping.
We need to get this mapping. It's part of
the emergency action
plan.
So we have money in, say we have money in the budget, which I'm not sure if we do or not left, in capital improvements, can we move that some of that over?
No.
No, that's specified
that's
for
capital projects.
Natasha and I are confident that we can find the money in the budget, the $15,000.
Really?
I don't really know how much of a choice we have.
We can find
the money, we can hope they don't come in and fine us, or we can plead our case to the DEP and ask them to hold off till next year, which puts us on the radar again, and that's not
five
what
five days we'll Benelli be spending $15,000 at $2,500 a day.
Exactly.
But when is this all due so that we don't get stuck in those fines?
Well, there.
What are the fines?
Due July 15th, but they're working with us.
Okay.
Because they know this had to come to council.
And what is there an appellate kind of a, you know, board that we can go to for this to plead our case?
You cannot. Well, you would plead your case to the DEP and hope that they'll.
And then that cost, it would have to be the engineer and the attorney.
Right.
All right. I make the motion that you find the $15,000 to have this done.
I'll second it.
Okay, but along with that, for discussion purposes, I think part of what they're going to need is that
they've been provided all that information.
Okay, and I think that's going to be part of, you know, the hydrological study as to how much water flows through there, the 100-year storm and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And what they're looking for is how big of an area will flood.
Yes.
And what we're going to do to fix it. But a lot of that is and how far downstream will it cause the flood. Now, these guys, when they did the hydro study, went all the way to Broadway, and it didn't cause, you know, the flooding didn't cause a problem that far down. But you have behind the college,
County.
Buttermilk Ridge Road, there's houses right along the river there that flood. So,
57.
Yeah, it's going to need to get done. I don't think it's going to cost $15,000.
For this mapping?
Yes.
Okay. So,
I made that motion.
Okay, well, I'll take the vote now. Who's in favor of the motion that's on the floor?
Can I still have a question?
Oh, sorry.
How much time do we have in order to act on this before we are planning? I just want to be clear.
They're not going to fine us as long as they know that we're working on it.
Right. As long as we're working with them.
Exactly.
One hand versus the other.
It's a risk. And from what I've heard, and you can talk to anybody in Oxford, I guess they had to go through the same thing. If they have a dam up at the lake, is that where they have a dam? They had to go through the same thing. And the DEP is taking this seriously.
So they did their same thing. They maintained rather than repair.
They are maintaining the dam they have in Oxford, yes.
And how much does that cost them per year, say, to maintain?
They have a different situation.
After they went through this.
That dam breaks, there's life.
Property.
Yeah, life could be lost if that dam breaks. So you can't. It's not comparing
apples
to apples.
Okay.
We're down here, you get a lot more property before it goes into homes and lives of Oxford. That's it. It's gone.
This is our final warning from the DEP to do this.
Just so everybody knows, the DEP is not a state agency that is funded by the general budget. The DEP exists solely on fines and permits. So if they're short money, they're going to be hot on the trail.
We don't want to be their poster child.
Right. Well, listen, they find us with the citizens. They find us, I think it was $50,000 a day. We racked up over millions of dollars in fines.
Oh, my gosh.
And we didn't pay them. Well, of course, we negotiated them down. So we paid one day's worth of fines. I think it was actually like $45,000. But
still, that's just wasting
for one day, yeah, it was $45,000 that we had to pay them just because they wanted it. So,
all right, thank you. So, I'm sorry, continue the vote.
I'll take the roll call since it involves money.
Yes.
Connor?
Yes.
Gorenz?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, we'll move on to the agenda and combine. Oops, sorry.
Bad question. Did this come out of news? Did this like a tree?
I'm sorry?
The Christmas tree up front. Can we
use
this now?
You could do it now or under council comments. I would suggest under council comments.
Okay.
All right, we'll combine resolutions 145 and 146, redemption of tax certificates.
So moved.
Second.
Since it involves money, do we do the roll call for these two?
Higgins?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Connor?
Yes.
Okay, now we have a resolution 147, closure of escrow, Paulson Homes. Does this need a roll call also? Or?
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
$22 and some change, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes. Up next is resolution 148, supporting and authorizing the Borough of Washington to join the Warren County League of Municipalities. This is Councilman Torres.
Yes,
do you want to speak about this?
No, I'm not.
Okay. You're making the motion?
Yeah, I make the motion.
Seeing no second, the motion fails. No,
you know what the League of Municipalities is? The County League of Municipalities. County League of Municipalities is like the state. The state we join, they're kind of like an advocate for all the municipalities in the state. They host the conference, they teach classes, they do mm-hmm. this. And from what I understand here in the county is they want to do the same thing locally. That what are there, 21 municipalities in Warren County?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
17 something, 21. So that if everybody joins, they can start their own thing, and they can give classes, they can have input as to what goes on with the state league and all of that.
What's the fee?
I don't know what the fee is.
I don't know that there is a fee.
Right
the
now,
newly
they didn't mention any
group.
Fee, so. Right now, there is no fee, so.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor. Do we have a second? Okay, hearing none. That motion fails. We move on to resolution 149, redemption of tax certificate. Roll call, please.
So moved.
Yes, sir. Higgins?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
All right, we'll combine resolution 150 through 153, refund of overpayment of taxes. These are the math of 2009 and 2013.
Second.
Higgins?
Sorry,
Higgins?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Gleva?
Yes.
I'll move resolution 154-2013, establishing a grace period for third quarter taxes.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next up, resolution 155, we have an appointment for the Board of Adjustment, Dan Aaron.
There's a vacancy there?
Yes.
When do they meet?
Last Tuesday of the month, fourth Tuesday of the month.
There must be two vacancies because we got two.
There are two vacancies.
Don't they
actually went
too?
To the planning board to ask for volunteers to fill some of these vacancies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
two
but I'm not sure. Do they have alternates already supposed to
We don't have any alternates sitting on the Board of Adjustment.
I'll move Resolution 155, 2013.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any abstain?
Pardon me?
Any noes? Everyone said aye?
Yeah.
And last up is Resolution 156, another Board of Adjustment appointment, Andrew Turner.
Now, he is sitting on the planning board right now, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. It's not a conflict of interest, really, but...
Both of them are currently sitting on the planning board.
Oh, I didn't know that. This, the person was... Dan, okay.
Here's a question that I have. With employment. I thought that he goes out of town on Mondays.
And did you see, you said they meet on Thursday?
They meet on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his status is.
The mayor's not here.
It would be up to him to make himself available regardless of where he works.
Because he knows...
Here's the point that I'm trying to make. If we appoint somebody that can't make a meeting, there's no use in making the appointment. If he can make the meetings, I don't have a problem.
Do you want to wait until next time maybe we can find his...
Did he say anything at the planning board meeting at all?
No, he two volunteered to be on the Board of Adjustment.
Right.
I mean, you'd have to think he wouldn't volunteer to do something if you're not going to be able to do it.
Right, they both...
Unless he doesn't know the schedule. Maybe they didn't know.
Wait, both of them.
They know the schedule of the...
Yeah, they were still at the planning board meeting. They both were told. They sit right next to us.
I feel more comfortable if we wait to get Scott's input because he's more or less on the planning board all the time as well, so...
I am too.
And you are too. I understand that.
So I'm just telling you.
He's the one who made these appointments.
No, he did not. They volunteered.
Well, okay. Well, I thought he's the one who makes these appointments.
Mary Ann had told them about that there were two seats and who would volunteer, and these two gentlemen volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
I sat there, they sat here.
All right.
All right, so is there a motion to appoint Andrew Turner?
I make a motion.
Any second. Can I do the second?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll second it. Okay. I guess do a roll call.
Conrad?
Yes.
Cleaver?
Yes.
Torres?
No.
Thompson?
Stay.
Higgins?
Present.
Okay, so the motion fails.
Okay.
So yes, I'm on that one.
Okay. I'll accept a motion to pay the bill.
I'll make a motion. Okay.
Any discussion?
Oh, yeah.
I asked you if you had anything.
Oh, what? You didn't ask me about you?
Okay.
Okay, well, you did answer the one question with the... that I had about the almost $2,000 for the dam.
The mill pond, what's the...
No, that was $268 for the dam. The question that I have is...
What page?
That's three. The Norfolk Southern at-grade railroad crossing improvements.
What page?
Page three.
Are we paying for this?
It's not the improvements. That was him being the mediator, the correspondence, you know, trying to...
When they came in and said they were shutting down the crossing.
So that's like $66 for that one, right?
Is it,
am I reading correctly?
Yes.
Okay, so that's his time for
a
letter.
No. Yes. That's not $66.
Yes, it is.
That's almost $2,000.
No, that's the Mill Pond Dam.
That's Mill Pond Dam.
Yeah.
You have to go up one. Sometimes it's confusing. Like fire hall AC upgrades is $758.
All right. Oh, okay. That was the dam. I thought it was the railroad crossing.
Yeah.
I have a little problem with that. Okay. I'd just like everybody to take notice of the, starting on page 5, 6, I think 4, 5, and 6, the amount of money we're paying for of vehicles at the DPW, and I think that might be it.
What does that mean?
I can...
Dave, yeah.
As far as the money that we're paying there, can we do that in-house? I mean, if you look at how much the labor was paid to that other person.
Jim Flynn's chocolate fair, whatever.
Well, and listen, that's a one-time shot there. I'm talking about the other guy coming in, charging, and the parts, we pay for the parts anyway, but we're paying, those other charges are labor charges.
Well, a lot of these were vehicles that we didn't have, that were stored in Franklin, that were left over there. I think three vehicles were in Franklin, and they were just left out, and there was major repairs that were needed.
That was the trailer.
Besides the trailer, something else too. Two other things, yeah.
Look, for here, it says truck, truck number 42. That is in our active fleet. Replaced oil pans, gas system, filters, $560.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right? I'm on page 5.
Actually, it's $1,000.
Now, see now, is that above or below?
Below.
It's below the line.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, okay, the tank rentals. Can we get them cheaper? You know, this guy has to pay tax. We don't.
Yeah, but this guy's a welder. I mean, he's doing this. I don't know if those are, if we can do any of these welding things in-house.
We should check, because they have a welder down there. I mean, there's a welding machine down there.
Hmm.
We should, don't you think? I mean, if we can do it in-house.
Right.
It would
save money.
Save money.
Absolutely.
We could do it. Right?
Yeah.
True.
And so what do you think?
Well, I don't know. Are they qualified auto mechanics?
I know. I think it has to be looked at carefully. Not everything that we send out to be fixed can be fixed in-house.
I understand that. But do we keep maintenance records?
Yes, we do.
Can I see those maintenance records?
Sure.
Okay, I would like to see the maintenance
records. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Isn't Don Henry like a really qualified mechanic? He works for our DPW, the assistant super.
He's the assistant super. No, he normally doesn't do the mechanical work.
Okay, I would like to see the maintenance records. Because if we have regular routine maintenance that we pay somebody to do, a lot of these repairs wouldn't have to take place. I'm just saying.
As long as you have to be very careful.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because we're civil service,
mm-hmm.
I would like to know how that affects if somebody did mechanical work and doesn't have a title of mechanic. Or does it have to be a split title? I think we could save money by doing the stuff inside ourselves. Here's what I would like to see.
If the employee is qualified to do that work.
You would have to be
well, right, sure.
If it's civil service, you remember some things are open competitive. We're getting into areas we have to look at closely.
Yeah, but if you could just check with civil service what it is that we have to do, I would appreciate that.
Well, are we looking at a position mechanic or are we looking at a split position?
A split position. A split position to add to a title that already exists then.
If you even need to have that in the title.
Right.
That's what he wants to find out,
right.
too.
Even if we have to have that. And if somebody does the mechanical work, can they get a stipend of whatever to be determined by the council for doing the mechanical work that saves us money? Here's what I'm really looking for. The outside work that was done, you know what I mean? Like somebody called in. I would like to see when the oil was changed and all that other stuff, and you know, when the tires are rotated, when the brakes are done, and who did them.
Yeah, what was done? I'd like to know what was done internally.
Right.
Is any maintenance on the vehicle done internally?
Right.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Well, DPW can give Christine a report. So
I can get the report. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion on the vouchers? Okay. If not, do roll call.
Yes.
Hang on. Get back here.
Second.
Higgins.
Yes.
Conrad.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Torres.
Yes.
Sleva.
Yes. Manager recap.
Okay. Bear with me here for a second. give Councilman Torres a copy of the garbage specs. Does anybody else want a copy before they go out? Legal mumbo jumbo, you want? Okay. We'll give everybody a copy. Give everyone a copy of the letter from the DEP regarding the
erosion
on the banking. We will contact Finelli and tell them that we're going to move forward with North Lincoln grant application with a not-to-exceed amount of $1,000. And we will work with Finelli with a not-to-exceed of $15,000 for the inundation study for the EAP plan at Mill Pond. And we'll get the maintenance records for the vehicles at the garage, and hopefully it tells us who worked on them. Anyway.
Okay. Council remarks? Councilman Higgins?
Well, sure. The status of the Paramount property.
Status of the Paramount property. I was going to put that in my manager's report Friday.
Okay.
28 East Washington Avenue has been deemed structurally sound. You know that the front part of that building has been, they boarded it up. The frame, it's not structurally deficient, it's just that one piece of overhang that's coming in. They are going to fix that after they fix 16 East Washington Avenue. Now, they are going to begin the framing work at 16 East Washington for the facade early next week. The facade work itself cannot begin until they go before the planning board as part of our redevelopment plan. It specifically states that facade replacement and new facade be approved by the planning board. They are on the agenda for August 12th, and once they receive approval, they can put the new facade up.
Government.
No one foresaw this when we did the redevelopment plan. The main priorities, as I've always said, is 16 East Washington Avenue. After we're through that, we'll turn our attention to 28 and 6 East Washington Avenue.
Are they going to do, I know this is just like the, kind of like the outside. Are they going to do anything on the inside, like the one building that doesn't even have the staircase? I mean, are they going to make these buildings habitable? What's the word I'm looking for?
Sandy, we were looking to get together with them, right, to address these issues.
So that they're rentable, and you know what I mean? Like, are they going
to... They are totally unresponsive to anything, and that's why we ended up having to wait for other pieces of brick and structure to fall into the street. I mean, we can meet with them as many times
right.
as you like. I mean, Marianne Van Jordan met with them, and Jim Sheldon met with them, and everybody has met with them.
Invite them to our next meeting.
They are not responsive.
Invite them to our next council meeting, please.
I mean, my concern is I don't care if they're just fixing the facade.
They have been there. They have been before.
They have many times.
Really?
I don't know.
And it's not
going to
be pretty. Trust me.
The firemen will be safe. It's not safe.
Because it's not safe.
The whole city block.
Yes,
it's going to happen. Is everybody understanding that?
Yeah, I second that idea to call into the carpet.
Right,
so, exactly.
And I don't.
But what then my next question is: what repercussions do we have then?
This is what we can do. We can take that property from them.
Yes.
That can be our property, according to the way that that one state law is written. And remember when Victor tried to get the property maintenance code about those buildings? We can take that property from them. The issue with that is...
We don't have the money to fix it.
No. You don't understand. It's become blighted. We can take it.
Right.
You do it as part of an eminent domain.
Yes.
If you have...
We have
because
right.
of
the ordinance in place.
The disrepair, according to the state law, the disrepair of that building and then refusing to do it, we can fix it up and take it. Once we start fixing it, it's our building.
Mm.
Once we start repairing it, it's our building.
Mm.
And they don't have anything to say about it. I hope they understand that. There's going to be an attorney at our next meeting, right? Okay, here's what I would like. I would not like the property manager. I would like an officer of the company to attend our meeting and have it explained during that meeting that if we start to work on that, that's not their building anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm tired of it. I mean, we had them in here before, like you said, we've had them in here numerous times. They promised us the world. Now, you know what? Listen, here's what you're going to do, pal. You either do it or it's ours.
It's
and
true,
you have this many days to get it done.
Either fix it or it's ours.
That's their pattern, it's stolen anyway. So.
I have a question.
I don't know.
Be careful what you're saying, because you know what?
What?
They just might want what you
say. Exactly, because they know we don't have the money to do anything with it.
Well, no, the expense.
Yeah, the expense.
I've been into all those buildings, not recently, but 3 years ago.
That's the question that I have. As the code official, do you have, can you go inside there and talk about codes that need to be done in there or no? Or is that the
building
code inspector?
That's the safety subcode, okay, or the fire's inspector, okay, can do that. Now, but remember, 2830, they can't use a third floor if it's been condemned.
So how can this building be deemed structurally sound?
Wait, they only can use two floors in that building. Mm-hmm. The third floor is going to require structural support as well as a stairwell. And 16 East Washington is going to require a lot of structural support in the front of the facade.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, the stairwell going up
is not there, right?
It's
you're
it.
Right.
It's not there.
I know.
The stairwell has been there, but there are problems with it because the skylight has been broken.
It's
for
rotting
years.
Away. That staircase is gone.
That's why
yeah,
the fire put the X on the building.
Okay. And all the water and snow has been getting in there, rotting that thing to pieces.
So,
like, why haven't we been finding them on a daily basis, like, with anything?
We have.
Do they pay the fines?
Okay, the last 6 months I worked as a fire inspector, I hit over $3,500 in one building of fines. Okay?
There's a big lapse from Trudy was on board.
They paid it. It, you know, every time I hit one of fines.
Well, the fire inspector is too.
Well, it's easier to pay it than fix the building.
Well, but then I would bring in the state too.
The state's been in here.
The state doesn't want it.
Well, exactly. The highest priority is safety at 16 East Washington Avenue.
Yeah.
That's got to be the priority. It has to be
that. Right, yeah, but then what?
Then what is you have the option to pass a property maintenance ordinance and take it over because of blight, but you're looking at eminent domain, and they'll probably be like, take it.
In legal costs alone, that'll be like
a
big chunk of change. We don't want
to
go there.
It becomes so unbearable to them that they are, that it becomes...
You can make the fines work.
Well, if you're talking about fire code fines, yes, but not state fines, because we use the state construction code office. So we have no authority over them.
Is there anything we could do from ordinance as far as it's in the B1 Central District? We just found out that the Planning Committee has to govern
the
redevelopment.
Right.
Do we need a redevelopment attorney? And also, if we're going to call them into battle, I want to make sure we're armed. I don't know that, no offense, Gephardt and Kiefer are. You might need an actual redevelopment attorney who is versed in this to give you the advice. We don't want to, believe me, I don't want to see, as much as this absolutely has to be addressed, I don't want to put ourselves under a tax burden for all of us, taking over those buildings and then, now we're on the hook.
I don't think anybody wants to take over the buildings yet. No, this is just talking to the people that are the owner.
The fines in the fire code, the National Fire Code, the maximum is $250,000 per violation.
Mm.
Nice.
All right. I have a question. You have a report. Was it the building code official that, the state building official that sent that report that made the determination that building was structurally sound?
I bet you the DP would have something wrong with it.
It came from their engineer and their architect to the DCA, and they determined it was structurally safe, yes.
So the state did not send a structural engineer out to look at that property?
Paramount, it was Paramount Engineer.
No, yeah, Paramount Engineer.
And Finelli reviewed the report, they're in agreement, it is structurally sound. You do not want to bring down 16 East Washington Avenue, because it will, you, it's connected to the building next to it, and that...
Now that you've done that there, do you know that there are earthquake requirements for engineering in the state of New Jersey?
And they're more stringent.
Since they had taken the front off of that, has that thing structurally sound to withstand whatever magnitude earthquake?
Without the facade?
Yes.
After they do the work, they have to have the engineer approve it anyway.
We have to get the framing done, and we have to get them in front of the planning board. This is what our redevelopment plan calls for. There's no...
And they're not meeting for another week?
They meet the first Monday, or is it the first, the second Monday of every month?
They met yesterday.
Why couldn't they hold an emergency meeting?
No.
No, next week, Monday, the 12th.
Yes, they meet Monday, the 12th.
Okay.
No emergency meetings? That's the next meeting.
That is their next meeting.
And if they don't have a quorum, then it gets pushed off.
The planning board is fully aware of the urgency of this matter.
Alright, Sandy, you want to make one more comment before Councilman Higgins?
I just prefer everyone to consult the redevelopment attorney.
We don't have one.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you, and I'm not saying to go back to Joe Bowman, because I don't think that's the one. If there's somebody else on the table, if you're going to go into that one, you have to be armed, you have to be ready, you have to know what you're talking about.
We don't have it, we didn't appoint a redevelopment attorney, we haven't in several years, so we're not even prepared to consult with one.
You have to appoint one to consult with one?
We have to hire them as professional if we're going to pay them.
You do.
Yes.
I would like for Judy to do some research on what can be done about that, and let her know that...
They're coming.
Yeah, I actually let Judy know before that the presentation was done. And, because it's not going to be pretty. And I would like you to send an invitation also to the Express Times to attend that meeting.
And that's about the adjacent property owners as well.
Sure. Do we have pictures of that building? The way it is right now?
No.
On the inside?
No, from the outside.
The outside, yes.
We do have pictures?
Finelli has them, yes.
I think the picture's inside.
I would like those pictures provided in the news media. I would also like to have their address, their parent corporation address, put in that news release.
After the meeting?
After what meeting?
What do you do?
I would like to have a news release saying that we're going to discuss that building at our next meeting.
You know, that brings to mind something.
And I would like to have the Express Times have the pictures to put in the paper, so that, you know, with the, you know, the news release saying that we're going to come to the Borough Council meeting and discuss this at their next meeting, so that the pictures, people, when they read the paper or online, they can see. And they can come listen to what they're going to do.
They're aware of what the problem is.
Yeah, they're aware of what's going on. Because when people ask me, hey, why are there tarps over that building? Because there's no wall. Why is there no wall? It was falling. Well, what are they doing about it? They hung a blue tarp over it.
I don't know if everybody really understands, too, how much the vacancy rate has gone down. There are so few retail storefronts left at this point. I mean, there is like nothing. They have been contacted. I have had at least 3 different offers for sale in there at 6, where they wouldn't come down in price. They didn't negotiate. They were pie in the sky. And they let it deteriorate to the point that it's at. You have those 4 vacancies, those 3 properties, and the other one owned by Clark Lagerman, where the A1 pool is. By the way, Clark Lagerman as well, maybe he gets invited, although he's the lesser of the evils, but that's a scary building, too. I mean, you can't, like, everybody comes through town, they probably think, what am I doing, my jail back there? There have been offers for leases. You can call. How many people have called? I have brought people in to lease those properties and to sell those properties. You can't. it's not that there's no demand for it, it's that it's impossible.
Right.
I just want to piggyback off something Dave had said. You know, this is about publicity and how their company looks.
They've never used the word publicity.
No, but basically it's their image that would be at stake if we required them as a council to say their business has to, or all businesses in downtown, have to put the owner of the building's name somewhere on the building. Because this way, people will see who keeps up the buildings and who doesn't right away.
And you know, they're very careful. None of those building ownerships are listed as town or property. It's 2628 LLC, Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Yeah, so, because...
The only reason there's been a town on it is because I know.
Do you need a motion to direct you to do the news release?
Town news.
Yeah, we should.
Well, everybody knows now. I can make that motion.
We have a motion on the floor to direct the liquor. All in favor?
Aye.
Any abstains? Any opposed?
Okay, can I finish?
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to, Ms. Manager, reschedule a sewer subcommittee?
I am.
Is that on the recap if it was, like, wasn't paying attention?
No, it wasn't on the recap, but it's on my list of things to do anyway. So it has to be, I'm going to shoot for Monday, because that's the only day I'm here. Tuesday is the special election.
August 12th.
13th or the 12th?
Monday is the 12th.
Yes, so we'll have it the 12th. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
4:30?
That's fine.
Anything else?
Not right now.
Councilman Thompson?
Yeah, I have something I'd like to bring up to council and see if they'll approve it. Is getting the okay to do the Christmas tree out here for the wintertime? Decorate it and have the lights put on, stuff like that?
We removed that from the budget. It used to be $500 and we've taken it out of the budget.
Well, I think there's money there for it.
I would second that motion.
So you're making that motion?
Yes, I'll make the motion.
Do you need to get like an estimate first, so it's like a not to exceed, or what's the best way to proceed?
Yeah, I think we need, I don't think I'll have a problem, but we'll need to definitely take a look and see how much it costs, and not to exceed.
So do you want to direct the motion?
800, I mean, I
don't know what's cost.
Would you want to direct the manager to get some quotes on what it would cost to decorate the Christmas tree?
If you could, please.
We're looking at just lights, right?
Yes.
And to put them up?
Yeah, and basically what they had previous years, people from town would come down and put their own ornaments on.
Put their own. So I'm saying they save the old wear and tear on the fire department staff, see what it costs for them. Put the lights on and take them off.
The fire company?
No, the company that you get the lights from.
What are you saying about the fire company? I'm missing.
I was taking the burden off the fire company for doing it.
Oh, no, I don't think they did do it in the last.
Yes, they've done it in the past.
So what was the $500? How much, what was the cost?
I think for the last few years I was here,
they hired somebody to do it.
The previous day had the fire company.
Right, that's why it's not in the budget. Okay, all right, so the motion is to direct for quotes. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, abstained?
Opposed.
You're opposed, okay. Yes.
It would take away from the tree lighting downtown.
Pardon me?
It still could be both. It would be actually be more festive to have two. Yeah.
Right, the motion right now is for the quotes. Okay, see how much it's going to cost.
Just for the quote?
Just for the quotes.
Right.
To see how much it would cost to decorate the tree. You still don't know. Okay. Councilman Carmody, do you have any comment?
No.
Councilman Torres?
I just had the, is there an update, Christine, on the air conditioning status? Repair work for this air conditioning?
Which part? Does it work in the building?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's now fixed. So they, because they were working on it this week, I don't know if it was completed yet.
Oh, that's because we had the chiller pump fail. And There are many problems with this old building, so we'll address that at budget time. But right now, it's up and running.
Good.
I let them know that we awarded the contract to them. I am going to hold off on having them start work on the chillers in the fire hall until after the special election next Tuesday, and then we can get started.
And then the other question was just on a piece of equipment that we had put in bid for the loader.
Loader, we have the contract signed back from Case. We've passed the 45 days. It's in the mayor's box for his signature.
Okay, good.
Okay, I don't have any. So, we don't have any executive session this evening. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All
in favor?
Aye.
I would like to say